Where are my Radha Bhatta and Gopala Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where is Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, letting me go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all those wonderful qualities? Being unable to attain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performs his pastime, Narottam Das simply weeps. Narottam Das Thakur ki jai, Shri Gopal ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayana Namaskritya.
Naram
Cheva Narottama. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam.
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam.
Tato Daya Mudiraya.
Tato Daya Mudiraya.
Naista Prayeshu Bhadreshu.
Naista Prayeshu Bhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya.
Bhagavati Yatam Shloke.
Bhagavati Yatam Shloke.
Bhakti Bhavati Naitike.
Bhakti Bhavati Naitike.
Before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer our special obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srimad Vyasadeva, the author. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering services unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome within the heart becomes practically restored almost to nil, and transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised of transcendental hymns, comes into being established as an irrevocable fact. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the third canto, chapter 25, text number 20. Actually, it'll be 20 and 21. Kushangam Madhyaram Basham Atmana Kavayogidu Saiva Saru Sikhtu Mukshadvaram Napavritam Kushangam Madhyaram Basham Atmana Kavayogidu Saiva Saru Sikhtu Mukshadvaram Napavritam Titikshadva Karunikva Suridhasaradeiram Ajata Satravan Santa Sarava Sarabhushana Prasangam Madharam Vasham Atmana Kavayovidu Sayava Sarasu Kuttu Mukshatvaram Apavratam Titikshava Karunika Suridhasaradeiram Ajata Satravan Santa Tarava Sarabhushana Prasangam attachment Ajaram strong Vasham entangled Atmana of the soul Tavaya learned man Vidu no Saeva that same Sarusu to the devotee Krita, apply. Mukshadvaram, the door of liberation. Apavritam, open. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Titikshava, tolerance.
Karunika.
Karunika.
Merciful.
Merciful.
Surida.
Surida.
Friendly.
Sarvadenam.
Sarvadenam. To all living entities.
Ajati
Sutrava.
Ajati Sutrava.
Inimical to none.
Inimical to none.
Shanta.
Shanta.
Peaceful.
Peaceful.
Sadava.
Sadava.
Abiding by scripture.
Sadhubhushana.
Sadhubhushana. Adorned with sublime characteristics.
Purple
by Srila Prabhupada for the first verse. I'll read the translation again. Prashanga majaram basham apana kalayo vidu saeva sarusu kuto mukshivaram apavatam. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Therefore, here is clearly stated that the attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage in conditional life, and that same attachment, when applied to something else, opens the door of liberation. Attachment cannot be killed. It has simply to be transferred. Attachment for material things is called material consciousness. An attachment for Krishna or his devotees is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Despite the statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living entity. A living entity by condition has the propensity to be attached to something. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers attachment to cats and dogs. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our attachment for material things perpetuates our conditioned state. But the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotees, is the source of liberation. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to self-realized devotees, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard. A sadhu is described in Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service. Even though one is bound not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhu reva samantara. Sorry, samantara. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. It is recommended here that if one at all wants to realize Brahman or spiritual perfection, his attachment should be transferred to the sadhu or devotee. Lord Chaitanya also confirmed this. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. Simply by a moment's association with a sadhu, one can attain perfection. Mahatma is a synonym of a sadhu. Is a synonym. Synonym of a sadhu. It is said that service to a Mahatma, or elevated devotee of the Lord, is dvara mahur vimukte, the royal road of liberation. Mahasevam dvara mahur vimukte tamo dvaram yoshikam sangi sangam. That's Bhagavatam 5.5.2. Rendering service to the materialist has the opposite effect. If anyone offers service to a gross materialist or a person engaged only in sense enjoyment, then by association with such a person, the door to hell is open. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord. Because if one associates with a sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshipper and a sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu. If we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions on how to improve our material condition. But he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attraction and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of association with a sadhu. The Pila Muni first of all instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. Tikshava karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata satyava shanta sarava sadhu bhushana. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Purpose by Srila Prabhupada. A sadhu, as described above, is a devotee of the Lord. His concern, therefore, is to enlighten people in devotional service to the Lord. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service to the Lord, human life is spoiled. A devotee travels all over the country from door to door preaching, be Krishna conscious. Be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna conscious. These are the preachings of a sadhu. He is not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about others. He is the most compassionate personality towards all the fallen souls. One of his qualifications, therefore, is karunika, great mercy to the fallen souls. While engaged in preaching work, he has to meet with so many opposing elements, and therefore the sadhu, or devotee of the Lord, has to be very tolerant. Someone may ill-treat him because the conditioned souls are not prepared to receive the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. They do not like it. That is their disease. The sadhu has the thankless task of impressing upon them the importance of devotional service. Sometimes devotees are personally attacked with violence. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Haridas Thakur was caned in 21 marketplaces. And Lord Chaitanya's principal assistant, Nityananda, was violently attacked by Jaga and Mada. But still, they were tolerant, because their mission was to deliver the fallen soul. One of the qualifications of a sadhu is that he is very tolerant and is merciful to all fallen souls. He is merciful because he is the well-wisher of all living entities. He is not only a well-wisher of human society, but a well-wisher of animal society as well. It is said here, sarva-dehinam, which indicates all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Not only does the human being have a material body, but other living entities, such as cats and dogs, also have material bodies. The devotee of the Lord is merciful to everyone, the cats, the dogs, trees, etc. He treats all living entities in such a way that they can ultimately get salvation from this material entanglement. Shivananda Sen, one of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya, gave liberation to a dog by treating the dog transcendentally. There are many instances where a dog got salvation by association with a sadhu, because a sadhu engages in the highest philanthropic activities for the benefit of all living entities. Yet although a sadhu is not inimical towards anyone, the world is so ungrateful that even a sadhu has many enemies. What is the difference between an enemy and a friend? It is a difference in behavior. A sadhu behaves with all conditional souls for their ultimate relief from material entanglement. Therefore, no one can be more friendly than a sadhu in relieving a conditioned soul. A sadhu is calm, and he quietly and peacefully follows the principle of scripture. A sadhu means one who follows the principle of scripture and at the same time is a devotee of the Lord. One who actually follows the principle of scripture must be a devotee of God, because all the shastras instructs us to obey the orders of the personality of God, sadhu. Sadhu therefore means a follower of the scriptural injunctions and a devotee of the Lord. All these characteristics are prominent in a devotee. A devotee develops all the good qualities of the demigods, whereas a non-devotee, even though academically qualified, has no actual good qualifications or good characteristics according to the standard of transcendental realization. Prasangam madhyaram bhasham atmanam kaimayo vidu saiva sadhu sarusu kittu mukshidvaram vipagatum titikshava karunika suvidha sarvadehinam ajata shastra Ajata Satyava Shanta Tadava Sarabhushana. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But the same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Om Agyanyata Mirandasya Jnanangana Salakaya Chakshurun Militamina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manomistam Shapitam Yenam Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gita Mayam Dadat Kutati Sampatantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Girara Shivasri Gaura Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So these are very nice verses by Kapila Muni. As I said earlier, that perfection of spiritual life is giving the perfection. What is the perfection? At that time the soul can see himself to be transcendental to material existence and always self-effulgent, never fragmented, although very minute in size. In that position of self-realization, by practice of knowledge and renunciation and devotional service, one sees everything in right perspective. He becomes indifferent to material existence, and the material influence acts less powerfully upon him. Perfection in self-realization cannot be attained by any kind of yogi unless he engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that is the only auspicious path. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the doors of liberation. So here, Lord Kapila Muni is pointing out the transcendental system, the transcendental path. Prabhupada, one time when he was explaining this, he said that, just like we say, love me, love my dog. Sometimes there's an English saying, if you love me, you love my dog. Which sounds strange, doesn't it? Sounds strange. Why should you love a dog to love someone? But generally, we see that if you are affectionate towards someone's dog, they actually like you. They become, or just like someone's child. Many times if you go into someone's house and you pet their child and make some attention to the child, they're more pleased than if you make attention towards them. Because the child is very, very dear to them. So naturally, that fondness, that attachment is very, very strong. It's very, very strong. So when you cuddle the child and you hit it on the cheeks and it goochie goochie, and they would go, oh, this person likes me very much. Actually, you don't necessarily show attachment to them. You show an attachment to the child. But there's no difference between the parent and the child, in one sense. This is the nature of Achintya Veda Aveda Tapa. That this expansion, Krishna is non-different from his expansions. And yet, Krishna is different. So this is a contradiction, a dichotomy, or whatever you want to call it, that God is simultaneously one and different from his devotee. He is non-different from his devotees. And yet at the same time, in the transcendental realm, of course, there is always distinction between the Lord and his devotees. But also, in absolute energy has to be studied. It is not like relative energy. Relative energy means where there is a difference between what is the observer, the instruments of observing, and that which is observed. These are three categorical differences. Just like you're different from your body, and you're also different from what you're seeing through your body. In other words, you're not the same as a mountain. Neither are you different. Neither are you the same as an eyeball, are you? You see in the mountain with your eyeball, Neither the eyeball is you, nor the mountain is you. You are something different from those things. But in the spiritual world, it is a different energy. Because material energy, Krishna says, my separated energy. Why Krishna is emphasizing separated energy? That means there's another energy which is not separate, isn't it? Sometimes you can understand the positive by studying the negative. Just like if you say there is darkness, then there must be light. Isn't it? You can't understand darkness without understanding light. You can't understand light to some degree without understanding darkness. Just like you may say it's very hot. But what is that? It's in relative to cold. So all things in the material world are relative. Just like I may say I'm happy. What do I mean by happy? Happy in comparison to what? Huh? We can see this as we move around these different apartments. We can say, oh, this is a nice apartment. Actually, some of these places, even a tramp wouldn't live in. But we're thinking, oh, this is nice. Because in relative terms means that in relative to living in the bush with ants that bite you, this may be very nice. So material world means relativity. So relationship, everything is based on relationship. The whole cosmic manifestation, Krishna says, is my energy. My energy. So we can understand that we are sitting on Krishna, we are resting on Krishna. Everything, aham savasa purvo. Krishna says, everything is resting on me, as pearls are strung on a thread. So everything is resting on Krishna, and Krishna is the reservoir of all consciousness. So the difference with our consciousness and God's consciousness is our consciousness is relative to our body. We have a bodily consciousness. That's why it says here, one who is attached to matter. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement because we are attached to matter, to the material world, and therefore that is very, very entangling. So what is the difference of a sadhu? A sadhu is attached to Krishna. That is the difference. A sadhu means one who has intense attachment to Krishna. Intense attachment. Krishna consciousness is about attachment to Krishna. It's not about so many external relative concepts. Many people think that a sadhu should be, like in India, they think he has to produce some gold or do something, fly around in the room and bounce off the walls or something. They expect some miracle. Just like one time we were in Prabhupada's room and Prabhupada was sitting there. Usually Prabhupada would invite many guests to come in. So some guests had come in, they were sitting there and we were all sitting around Prabhupada and they wanted, Swamiji, can you do miracle? They used to say like that in India. Swamiji, can you do miracle? Because they were hoping that, you know, they could Prabhupada may, you know, save their crippled cat or something like that. Whatever they were thinking. Can you do miracles, Swamiji? And Prabhupada looked around the room and said, this is my miracle. And he was looking around. And Prabhupada said, this is my miracle. These boys and girls, previously, Prabhupada said, they were all attached to so many things, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, so many nasty habits. And Prabhupada said, now they are mad after Krishna. But this is my miracle. So this is the miracle of a sadhu. Sadhu is not sentimental idea, long beard, saffron robes, and sitting on a rock up in the Himalayas, pressing on his nose. That's not. We all have our fantasies of what a sadhu is. The sadhu, what is the meaning of sadhu? Here it is explained that sadhu means the qualities of a sadhu. So a sadhu must have qualities. And what is the main quality of a sadhu is one who is intensely attached to Krishna. This intense, just like in the material world, there is kam, krodh, lobh, moh. This lobh, this attachment. So we don't have negative instruction here. We don't have negative instruction. So Rupa Goswami, he is explaining how this one should be hungry. One should be very hungry after Krishna consciousness. Just like when you're very hungry, you can see when we're on the bus yesterday, we became hungry. Everyone is dreaming peanuts. Peanuts became boring, then something else, and something else. So the mind is always disturbed when one is hungry. Mind, the conversation, if you sit on a long journey with people, they may start off with so many topics, but they'll always end up on food. You can see that at Bhaktivedanta Manor, when Acharya Sevak was in charge of all the cooking. The conversation was very strong on food, prasad. Oh, I remember in one temple we used to have nice prasad, curd sabjis, whatever happened to those days, lamentation. So this hankering is there. Hankering and lamentation, nature of the material world. So hankering is very, very important because hankering is the nature of attachment. Lobha. Lobha means intense hankering. When there is intense hankering, because the nature of the soul is to be very attached. It is natural to be very attached. Consciousness means attachment. As soon as you're conscious, you're attached. You study your own consciousness, you'll find you're always attached to something, isn't it? Throughout the day, you study, daytime, nighttime, always attached to something. Depending on the body, just like you study animals, insects, just like those baboons. They like very much the bananas. That is their attachment. Anamoy. Anamoy means their pleasure. They get their ecstasy from food. That is where they get their, not ecstasy, but deep pleasure. So he couldn't eat quickly enough because he wants that pleasure inside. That pleasure is not there eating, leaves, dry leaves. That pleasure comes from juice. He wants the juice of nice bananas. Nice bananas. These are like his Sunday feast. So this attachment is the nectar, the sweetness. So therefore in the beginning, although Shraddha, in the beginning there's faith, one should develop some faith. And faith, when there is an increase of faith, then there is association with sadhu. Then there is the association with sadhus. So one is thinking, just like that baboon, he knew that if I associate with these rich tourists, I may get a few bananas. He's not chasing after the local villagers, because they won't give him any. He knows these big fat tourists who come from America and UK and all over the world, they have money, so they carry extra bananas. Otherwise, local villager won't be throwing bananas. He'll be hitting them with stick. So they know if I hang around the road, these mzungus will come and throw me big bananas. So this is intelligence. Even though they're animals, they know where the nectar is, where to get their satisfaction. So in the beginning, little faith, and then one should associate with the sadhu. Because the sadhus, they have a special nectar. They have a special nectar. What is that nectar? Is that they are devotees of Krishna. So they are always tasting the nectar of devotional service. So therefore their association, by that association, then one develops nishtha, firm faith. So when one becomes fixed up, firm faith, why does one have firm faith? Because ruchi. The more one tastes the nectar of Krishna consciousness, the more one becomes very firm faith. You don't even need philosophy. The one is tasting the nectar, just like Gokishwara's Babaji, he was illiterate, never read a book ever, couldn't write his name. But he had the ruchi, the taste. The one has that taste. That taste is the, as Lord Chaitanya said, the nectar for which we are always hankering, for which we are always anxious. So, therefore this ruchi taste comes by association of sadhus, because sadhus are very merciful. They are very merciful. They are Tikshiva Karunika. Tikshiva Karunika. So in the material world, when you have something, you don't want to give it to anyone. That's the nature of the material world. When you've got some money, the last thing you want to do is give it away, isn't it? Because if you give it away, it'll go. That's the nature of matter. Because matter is very limited and very measurable. So therefore, to give it away is a stupidity. If you say, oh, I had 5 million, I gave it all away. No, then nothing. No. So the point is that in a material world, one cannot truly be merciful and kind because there is attachment. Attachment, what? Different type of attachment. The spiritual attachment and the material attachment are not the same thing. One should not artificially try to understand them as being the same. They're not. They're totally oceans apart. Because in the material world, we are attached on account of wanting to control. Because we are wanting to control over something. So therefore we're attached. We're not attached because of any real deeper meaning. Because we want to control something. So therefore, in order to control, we must have a mastership over something. We must have actual domination. Unless you have domination over something, you can't be actually truly attached to it. Just like you may travel in someone's car, very beautiful Rolls Royce car, and you're attached. Why? You know, oh, this is nice, but not real attachment. Because you don't own it. Isn't it simple? You don't own it, so therefore your attachment, just like someone might say, here's my beautiful wife, and you say, wow, she's very beautiful. But you're not that attached, because it's someone else's wife. But if it's your wife, then you can really get attached. Because you have some proprietorship. Some idea that I own this thing. Therefore, every pauper is proud of his penny. This is very important in psychology to understand. Every single beggar, just like Prabhupada said, he was on a train, and one man got on, and he had burnt cinders. But when you burn cinders, he'd been going around collecting burnt cinders. And so he was keeping them very close to himself, these burnt cinders. So Prabhupada said, I can understand. He's very attached to these cinders, even though they've practically been burnt already. But because he had become attached to that thing. It's not that the cinders are very important, but to him they were very important. Otherwise, why is he going around collecting and keeping in a big bag on his back? So sometimes you see also these women, they go around, men also, and they have big, like Safeway trolleys full of bags, and they're carrying bags. Isn't it? You've seen. Bag ladies, or bag men. So they're attached to bags of rubbish. But the attachment is there because they have proprietorship over it. That's their bag. You come and interfere, they become angry. You wait for my bag. So that proprietorship, this proprietorship, is the important factor. That one thinks I am the proprietor. But the devotee is attached in a different way. He's not thinking I'm the proprietor. Rather, he's thinking that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant a million times removed of the gopis of Brahma. This is Lord Chaitanya's mood. So that attachment to the transcendental is different because it is completely a different consciousness. In the material world, we're attached to proprietorship out of ignorance because we don't know who's the proprietor. And neither do we want to know. Neither do we care a damn who's the proprietor. All we want is that we have control over a certain aspect of material nature. We have, if you like, staked our claim in the material world, and we are very attached to that claim. That claim begins with the body. With the bodily attachment, we are attached to the indriya, the senses, the mind, the body. And then extended attachment, we are attached to the immediate family, to our mother and mum and dad and brothers and sisters and cousins and extended cousins. And then we are attached to our village, first of all our house, our garden, our tree, this is my trees, my garden, my cat, my dog, even sometimes the mouse is mine. And it's a large household mouse, they keep mouse. They're attached to every single thing. And then extended village or town, extended more to the Rotary Club, the Lions Club, this club, that club, netball club, knitting club, any club. And then attachment to business, attachment to the community, national, international. So it goes on and on. There's no end to that proprietorship. So we can see that when someone, even in the material world, they don't have children, so they transfer that attachment to a cat or a dog or a budgie, something, as long as they can have that attachment. So these are the nature of attachment. So in the spiritual world, that attachment is completely different, because the devotee is very, very attached to the devotees of the Lord. Attached to the devotee. If one is not attached to the devotees of Krishna, he cannot be attached to Krishna. So one devotee prays that you may try to search out Krishna in the Vedas and the Puranas and the Itihasas, etc. But I am worshipping Nanda Maharaj. My worship is to Nanda Maharaj. Why? Because in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna is playing his little baby. So therefore we worship Nanda Maharaj higher than any Yasoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana. This is the worship of Krishna. We always pray to Krishna, Nanda Nandana. One who gives Nanda, Ananda to Nanda, to Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, Yashoda Krishna, Yashoda. Because we worship Yashoda, because Yashoda, Krishna is simply hanging around in her back garden. You see, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he cannot be approached by the great yogis, the great rulers of planets, the great Brahma and Shiva. They, of course, Lord Shiva is different, but even the great demigods, they cannot even approach, and yet he is hanging around in the courtyard of Krishna. That's why we worship very much Damodar. Damodar, one who is bound with the ropes of affection and love of Mother Yashoda. So if we get the mercy of Mother Yashoda, then we can capture Krishna. Just like if the mother is very pleased, sometimes when you are collecting in India, we used to try to make sure the mother and father were happy. Because if the mother and father were happy, the son would give. It would give some help. Because the mother, usually the mother and father are more pious, more religious. So therefore, the children would automatically cooperate. So the mother and father, of course, are held in higher esteem by the child. So therefore, a devotee always worships the devotees of the Lord, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is playing in their courtyard, playing in the courtyard of the heart of the devotee. He is in the heart, just like Krishna is there in their heart. Many times Prabhupada, we could see that he had captured Krishna completely. And therefore we knew that Prabhupada had captured Krishna. One time Prabhupada even said that, I have captured Krishna and I'm holding him here for you. Now you simply come and take. That is the power of the devotee. That is the power of the devotee. It is not a sentimental, it is upheld by all the shastras, because one, Krishna is conquered by love of his devotees. So that love of his devotees is in many ways more powerful, because Krishna, he is chastising the entire universe. He is destroying the entire universe. Every single entity that comes in this universe, he destroys them. Destroys them. He pulls their legs off, their arms off, he pops their head off, he smashes them, he throws them against buildings and walls, he crushes them on the vehicles, he throws them in rivers and lakes and drowns them and starves them and tortures them. They're all getting tortured. This is the big torture chamber, the material world. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Krishna said and give. From the highest planets to the lowest, they're all places of misery. So Krishna is chastising everyone. So he also likes to be chastised. God also likes to be chastised. He is not an exception. Just like when you have been chastised in love, if you know two people who have a very intimate relationship, they are chastising each other. This is also love. But, you know, that love, affection is there, but they chastise. But it doesn't, it's a different type of humor, different type of rasa. So Krishna also likes to be chastised by his devotee. Sometimes the coward boys, they chastise Krishna, just like Mother Yashoda is calling, Krishna, come, take your prasad, take your dinner. And the coward boys are saying, if you go, Krishna, then don't come back. We don't want you to play with us. You can't just go away like that. So they chastise Krishna. If you go away, then we won't let you come back. So Krishna's very mind is completely disturbed. Because Mother Yasoda is calling out of affection, out of love. And the coward boys, out of love, don't want Krishna to go. So therefore, there's a tussle in Krishna's mind. There's some tussle going on, out of affection. And sometimes the coward boys also, they gang up on Krishna that to get him in trouble. They want to get him in trouble with Mother Yashoda. That Krishna, oh, Mother Yashoda, he has been eating dirt. We caught him. Secretly, he's eating dirt. So Mother Yashoda becomes annoyed. You're eating dirt? Why you're eating dirt? So then Krishna says, oh, these boys have all ganged up against me. Even my own brother Balaram, he's ganged up. And they are conspiring against me to get me in trouble. And sometimes also when Krishna is defeated in mock fight, then he has to carry the coward boys on his head. And they are pushing him. Come on, come on, run. So he's carried. So who can understand? Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has become a plaything in the hands of his devotees. So this is not understandable by human reasoning, because in the material world, everybody wants to be the proprietor. Everybody wants to be the center, the enjoyer, the controller. They want to be the center of everything. That is the nature of this world. Everybody wants to be the center of attraction. Oh, look at him. Isn't he fabulous? Oh, look at how much power and money. And, oh, he's so handsome and good looking. Oh, and everyone's going, this is like nectar to their ears. So we like to hear nice things about ourselves. We like everyone to be chanting our glories, endeavoring with great determination and faith. They worship me with all the praises they can muster. So this is the nature of egotism. Everybody wants to attach to be in the center of the universe, to be in the center. But in the spiritual world, everyone wants to be the servant of the servant. As Lord Chaitanya said, a million times removed. This is the humility of spiritual life. So they want to be, how can I serve Krishna so that, this is their sign, by pleasing his devotee. I can serve Krishna by pleasing his devotee. That is the science of the spiritual world. In the material world, how do I enjoy? By exploiting everyone. Everyone should become a victim of my exploitation. I should become clever at business and get their money out of their pocket. I should become very clever at hiding their property and stealing it. I should become very clever at telling lies and cheating so that I can get on in life and cheat people of their goods, of their property. I should be very clever at going out and, what is that word they use, seducing young girls. Just like these vultures, they go out at night to seduce young girls so that they can use them as their playthings. I should be very clever at economics so that I can exploit. I should be very clever at politics and technology, so many. I want to show my cleverness, but what is my motive to exploit? I want to exploit, I want to further my selfish endeavors in the material world. So spiritual life is a completely an opposite thing. We saw this in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was 100% dedicated to serving all living entities. He had no personal, not one crumb of personal motivation was ever found on him. Those who studied him very, very minutely, very carefully, never ever found one single selfish desire in Srila Prabhupada. But that is the quality of a devotee. The quality of a devotee is that he is 100% dedicated to pleasing Krishna. To pleasing what? Krishna's devotee. Prabhupada said, I've tried my whole life to please my Guru Maharaj. He said, I never had any other desire. From the first moment I met my Guru Maharaj, I wanted my whole life to please him. And Prabhupada said, and I will stand on it. That is my only qualification, that I never deviated one single inch from the service of my Guru Maharaj. Other godbrothers, they deviated. Guru Maharaj wanted that this Krishna consciousness should be spread all over the world, and Prabhupada said, so with my tiniest effort I tried. And look how it has come out. So this is the mood of the Vaishnava. He never thinks that I have done something wonderful, that I am big devotee, just like a proud beast, that I am something wonderful, that Krishna should be very proud of me. Look who he's got on his side. Look who's helping him. He would be bewildered. He'd be bewildered without me. He wouldn't know how to spread this movement. Even Lord Chaitanya needs me so much. Good job he got me and not someone else. Isn't it? This is not the mood of the Vaishnava. That I am a big look who's helping him. He would be bewildered. He'd be bewildered without me. He wouldn't know how to spread this movement. Even Lord Chaitanya needs me so much. Good job he got me and not someone else. Isn't it? This is not the mood of the Vaishnava. That I am a big fellow, able to do so many big things. Actually, a devotee knows that everything is going on by Krishna's arrangement. Everything is being done by Krishna. We are doing nothing. Look who's helping him. He would be bewildered. He'd be bewildered without me. He wouldn't know how to spread this movement. Even Lord Chaitanya needs me so much. Good job he got me and not someone else. Isn't it? This is not the mood of the Vaishnava. That I am a big fellow, able to do so many big things. Actually, a devotee knows that everything is going on by Krishna's arrangement. Everything is being done by Krishna. We are doing nothing. We are fumbling like little ants in the sand, trying to capture a little piece of rice or something. So therefore, the devotee is not under the illusion. And the symptoms of a devotee is that he's very tolerant. Dikshiva Kalunika. Dikshiva Kalunika is very tolerant and very merciful. A devotee should be very kind and tolerant. Merciful to other living entities because he knows how sweet Krishna is. How sweet. Just like if you have some very nice sweet thing. You feel guilty to eat it all yourself. You want someone else to taste the sweetness. So Krishna consciousness is very sweet. Everyone is looking for this nectar. But they are looking in the nectar in the wrong place. So they are all, every living entity is like a honeybee. They're like honeybees. A bee is always looking for honey. A living entity is always looking for pleasure. They need pleasure. They have to have pleasure. It's not something artificial. It's something very natural. They need pleasure, just like a bee. You can't chase a bee after sewage water. You can't try to attract the bee to sewage. The sewage is not attractive. The bee is attracted to the pollen inside the honey. He wants to enjoy the inside of the nectar of the flower. And he's very busy doing that. Very, very busy. So, therefore, the living entity is always after the nectar of Krishna consciousness. That's what he's looking for. But he thinks that nectar is found in attachments in the material world, chasing after these transitory manifestations of the material world, like bubbles in the ocean. Sometimes this thing comes in the mind, this thing is very nice, let me become attached to that, let me become attached to this. Just like you see, practically, you go to any place in the world, they have these window shopping, isn't it? People are looking in the shop window and seeing, oh, I'd like one of those. I like one of those. I like one of that. So this material world is like a big shop window. Just like when we're driving along, we like to look out of the window to see what can be enjoyed by us. Oh, here's mangoes. Oh, here's a nice river. Oh, here's a nice hotel. Here's a nice pub. Here's a nice casino. Here's a nice motor car, motorbike. Everyone, the material world is a big shop window. We come here shopping, isn't it? We're on our shopping spree. So for shopping, then you need to have your legs to take you around, your hands to grab everything, isn't it? It's like sometimes they have these supermarkets, they open it. You can take what you can in one, you have to go around once. You ever seen that? People, they win a shopping thing, they have to run around and shop, 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 shop. As quick as they can grab everything.
and things are falling on her head. They're trying to put it in and get it to the, they have to, by a certain time, get it to the checkout. In like 1 minute. Anything they grab is there. So that's the material world. We come in here shopping. Whatever we can grab and get attached to, and whatever we can snatch from someone else and put in our pockets so that no one sees us, or whatever little thing we can call our own, and then time is up. Check out. Okay, bring your basket. What have you got? Okay, get out. So we have to check out. Next one comes in, running around, grab, get this, get that. Oh, I saw something wonderful. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at this. So now you see, as Kali Yuga progresses, these supermarkets are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Soon you'll need a car to drive around it. It's so big, isn't it? And there's no end to what. So therefore the material energy is endlessly mutable. There's endless permutations, mutations of different varieties. So a devotee has no interest in all of these things, because his only interest is how to get some more of that nectar of devotional service. That is why it's called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rasamrita Sindhu, rasa. Rasa means taste. The devotee wants that taste of devotional service. But the beauty of the taste of devotional service is that unless Krishna is satisfied, you can't get that taste. You see? That is the secret of devotional service. If Krishna is satisfied, then you are satisfied. If Krishna is not satisfied, you never get a taste. You see, just like the belly. The hand is satisfied. You don't hear your hand complaining, is it? Your hand complains because it's automatically satisfied from the stomach. All the nourishment is coming from the food. But there's a system. There's a system in the body. You give the food to the mouth and turns it over. That's nice. So then it lets it go further, isn't it? It's no good, it spits it out, isn't it? But it doesn't take any more. So the mouth is deciding whether the tummy is going to get it or not. So therefore the mouth has all these little senses, all munch, munch. Huh? And then when you're happy that this taste is nice enough, then you let it go further. And then it goes down, and then you feel it in your belly, filling up, more, giving more. And the hand becomes happy, the leg becomes nourished, everything becomes satisfied. After you've eaten a good meal, everything's satisfied. You don't need to extraneously try to get the food inside your hand, say some hole, or try some medium to get it in. It's automatically all happening. Because why? Because it's a big machine. So Krishna is also a very gigantic machine. Of course, he's not a machine, he's a person. So there's a system. And that system is that, as Krishna says, that Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasya. Bhuktaram, that I am the enjoyer of all, everything, all sacrifice. Everything you do, Yat Karosi, Yat Vidyasi. Everything you do, everything you think, everything you say, everything you give away, everything you get, I am the enjoyer. Only me, I am the transcendental autocrat. I am the despot. I am the controller. Every single atom of the spiritual and material. It is my energy. I am that enjoyer. It is not you. No, I'm sorry. You're not the one who created it. You're not the one who maintains it. You're not the one that enjoys it. You are a charlatan. You are a crook who's come to pose as the enjoyer, to pose as the controller, to pose as the actual benefactor. So Krishna says that I am the only enjoyer, therefore all jagna is for me. Jagna tapasyam, all austerities and sacrifices should be performed for me. Sarva loka maheshwaram, I am the controllers of these lokas, these planets. They are all on my power. They are all resting on me. You can look at them and speculate until you drop dead. But I own them. They are mine. I know how they are floating. I created them. I am keeping them floating as pearls are stung on the flesh. Sarva loka maheshwaram. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. I am your only friend. I am the one who feeds you, who looks after you. who makes sure that you are protected. I will give you protection. I'm the one who's been looking after you for billions and billions and billions and billions of lifetimes. I'm the one who's been sitting in your heart, Suridham. I'm the one who's been giving you direction, fulfilling all your nonsense desires, all your stupid propositions, all your silly little ideas, all your ridiculous attachments. I've been satisfying those. I'm the one who's been giving you everything for your whims, for your whimsical ideas, for your stupid ideas. I'm the one who's been providing. I am the provider, because I'm your very dear friend. So therefore, Suridham Sarvabhutanam. So anyone who understands this, then Shantamam, Shanti, one attains peace in this world. That's all that's required. Atheism, materialism is nothing but actual denial of the divine grace of Krishna. That is what atheism is. That's what materialism is. It's the denial, denying Krishna. Demon means one who denies Krishna. Devotee means one who recognizes Krishna. So therefore, if you want to have divine grace, you have to associate with divine grace. His divine grace, just like Prabhupada always said, you're ever well-wisher His divine grace. You're ever well-wisher His divine grace. So that divine grace of Krishna is there, all-pervading in the material creation, in the form of Guru. Guru is not a singular. Guru is plural. That means that even though Guru appears as singular, yes, as the spiritual master, but in actuality, the entire arrangement of Krishna is to bring the living entities back to home, back to God, to reform, to rectify their enjoying mood, to rectify their rebellious insistence on being independent. And therefore, this Krishna comes as divine grace. He comes, he sends his pure devotees, but he has to send his confidential devotees, because only his confidential devotees can be his divine grace. Isn't it? It's those who are not confidential, they can't be divine grace. They can be Maya's grace. Just like Maya has also got some mercy. She gives you nice things in the material world. But divine grace, that has to come directly from Krishna. Therefore Krishna says that whenever and wherever there is this breakdown, or where there is scarcity of devotional service, dharma, then I send my great devotees, my pure devotees, I send my representatives. So these representatives, they are coming, and they are representing what? They are representing the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of God that is there in the heart. And Krishna says, I am director in the wonders of all living beings. I am situated in the heart. And externally, Krishna is coming, directing. What is the meaning of direction? Direction means knowledge. Just like if you need direction, if you're going somewhere, you need knowledge, isn't it? You need direction. You need direction. So the spiritual master comes to give direction. Therefore, the meaning of spiritual master should be understood. It's not that one is attached to external idea. Of course, external or internal, for pure devotees, they are all transcendental. But it's not that you can say, oh, look, my spiritual master, he has such nice eyebrows. Isn't that nice? Or he has very nice toes. Guru Maharaj has very nice toes. This is not Guru. Guru means one who gives direction, transcendental. The transcendental direction to take you back to home, back to God. So therefore, one should understand that this spiritual master comes. And how do you know? Because he is mad after Krishna. Prabhupada said, how do you recognize spiritual master? Find someone who is mad after Krishna. He's mad, just like Lord Chaitanya was mad. Nityananda was mad. Advaita Acharya was mad. They're all mad. They're like lunatics. They're dancing non-stop, jumping up and down all night long, dancing, foaming at the mouth, rolling on the ground, always chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So if you are obsessively attached to something, sometimes people say you're mad, isn't it? isn't it? Just like some people are mad after collecting stamps. They say, that guy's a lunatic. He's always collecting stamps. This guy's always playing football. This guy's always going to discotheques. Lunatic. So whatever attachment you have, if it's too much, it's kind of madness. See, it's kind of madness. That's why sometimes when people eat too much, they're always eating. They have this sickness. What's it called? When you're always eating. Bulimia? No, this, when they're always eating. Obsessed. Obese. Kind of madness. Eating. And then someone else is starving themselves. They've got another thing. Anorexia. So this is all, any over-attachment is like a man. So the devotee is completely mad. Once you become a lunatic after Krishna, mad. Totally mad after Krishna. Then you know that you're getting the ruchi, taste. Because just like the bumblebee, if you watch a bumblebee, he's also a little crazy. Because even if you have a stick, you're beating him. He doesn't care. He wants to get in that flower. So that's a type of madness, isn't it? And like these ants are also mad. You can't stop them. They're going. So that attachment is also madness. So here it is pointing out that in the material world, one becomes attached to material energy. Then he becomes mad. Crazy. Isn't it? Material attachment causes a madness. A craziness. So you can see that these people are working like asses, like dogs. They're foaming at the mouth, working very hard. They're running around, creating so big arrangement. But what is it all for? Nothing. Illusion. Nothing. At the end of it all, they drop down dead and make a mess. And you've got to clear them away. Isn't it? Isn't that a type of lunacy? You work for 70 years, you fall over, make a mess, and they clear you away. What is the good of that? Oh, but I contributed so much. Without me, society wouldn't be what it was, or is. But all you'll do at the end of it all is you make a mess. You become an embarrassment. Clear it away, dead body, get rid of it. So, therefore, that attachment will end in nothing. But if you become attached to Krishna, regardless if one is completely material disqualified, many of our acharyas were totally disqualified, material. Gokishodas Bhavaji was one example, Bharat Maharaj another example. There are so many examples. No qualification. Simply, even their body is all bent up or old or rickety or whatever. But what is their qualification? That they have immense attachment to Krishna. And therefore, they are to be worshipped greater than even all of the demigods put together. Because they are having Krishna in their heart. They are pure devotees of Krishna, lovers of Krishna. And therefore, they can give Krishna. One who has Krishna, he can give Krishna. If one has Maya, he can only give Maya. So we have to become interested in that personality who has Krishna, that is this great acharya, great devotee, pure devotee, and we should also become mad after Krishna. That is a sign of having, just like Lord Chaitanya, he was a very big pundit, very learned scholar, he was a teacher. And he went off to Gaya to worship Vishnu, to do the ceremony for his father, departed father, and he came back mad. He said, I don't know what happened. I was speaking with Ishwara Puri, my Guru Maharaj, and he gave me this mantra. Since I'm chanting this, I'm going mad. Whenever I chant it, I start feeling this emotions, I'm falling on the floor. What is he giving me? What sort of drug he is giving me? What is this thing he is giving me? So, therefore, after that, Lord Chaitanya became completely immersed in the holy name. So, wherever he went, he wanted to chant the names of Krishna, And even one time he was chanting the names of gopis in ecstasy, and his student said, "Oh no, you should chant Krishna, don't chant gopis." So even the fools can be stopped off. So therefore, the point is that the pure devotees, they can give Krishna. Lord Chaitanya didn't just get Krishna, he got it from Ishwara Puri. Even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he got his attachment from a pure devotee. Ishwara Puri got his attachment from Madhavendra Puri. So in this way, evam parampara praptam, this transcendental knowledge is passed down by the great devotees. And that devotional service is stored in their hearts. So it's in their hearts, so they are able to distribute this transcendental knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada was also a storehouse of love for Krishna. Everyone who came in touch with him could see this personality has complete love for Krishna. And therefore he's situated in the Vaikuntha, in Goloka Vrindavan. He's not in this material world. You could see Prabhupada was not in this material world. Therefore he was able to transfer the whole planet, the whole universe, back to home, back to God. That is how powerful. The devotee is so powerful, he can transfer the whole universe. Bad. It's like Vasudev Datta. He wanted to transfer the whole universe back to God. And Lord Chaitanya said, "What is this universe? There's only one little mustard seed and a huge bag of mustard seed." And it becomes vacant immediately to fill up again. So therefore, the pure devotee, he can actually deliver all the living entities back to home, back to God. Therefore, if we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the glorification of Krishna and his devotees, not Krishna alone. Krishna is never without his devotees, and the devotees are never without Krishna. Absolutely. Okay, we'll stop there. Any questions at all?
How can I be more attached to my spiritual masters
desire
than to my own soul?
Huh?
To
I didn't hear you. Your voice is
very... How can I be more attached to my spiritual masters desire than to my own desire?
This is the thing that this means when one becomes advanced in spiritual life, attachment to desires is natural. You cannot get rid of it. But all you can do is substitute. Just like Prabhupada used to say, if you're chewing on some metal, a child, little baby, sometimes they pick up something inferior, like a metal, knife or something, they're chewing. So you give it some nice sweet thing, like a sweet meat, and immediately the metal becomes useless. So attachment, the whole point is the transcendental system has to be understood. That all living entities are attached to Krishna. That is their fundamental nature. That is their eternal nature. That is sanatana. Sanatana dharma means attachment to Krishna. So when one becomes a spiritual master, what is his business? Simply to give attachment to Krishna. There's no other business. So therefore, how do you please the spiritual master by becoming attached to Krishna? You see? It's not a separate thing. The desire of the spiritual master is to please Krishna. So your desire should be to please Krishna. Just like these glasses. Prabhupada made this point. We asked him one time, what is guru? Prabhupada said, this is guru. Guru means medium. Just like I want to see these words better. Now I can't see. But now I can see very nicely. It's not that I'm reading a book by looking at glass. You see? The idea of the glasses is I want to see. Oh, now I see it. Now I'm able to see. So glasses are the medium by which you see. Spiritual master means the medium to love for Krishna. His business is loving Krishna. And your business is loving him to love Krishna. So that means there's transcendental system. We love the Vaishnavas because they're servants of Krishna, because they're lovers of Krishna. So therefore, that increases our attachment. If we try to jump over the head of the Vaishnavas, we will be ruined. We will be ruined, because Lord Krishna never tolerates any offense against his devotees. So it's a two-sided sword. On one side, the Vaishnava is very, very dear to Krishna. So therefore, by pleasing the Vaishnava, one can very quickly capture Krishna's mercy. But on the other side, if you offend the Vaishnava, then Krishna's mercy becomes very difficult to obtain. So that's why one has to be very careful, to always be careful how to deal with each other, Vaishnava. Many people have an idea, oh, Vaishnava means he has to be a big acharya. No, Vaishnava means one who is there to Krishna. That is Vaishnava. One who is there to Krishna. So, you never know who is there to Krishna. Just like, there are many examples of Vaishnava that one will not even recognize. But they are very, very dear to Krishna. So one has to be very careful not to commit offense. But to please the spiritual master means that one should try to please the spiritual master in order to please Krishna. So there are many ways to please the spiritual master. And according to the desire of the spiritual master, Prabhupada says, whatever is the desire of the spiritual master, that becomes the life and soul of the devotee. His life and soul. Any other questions?
Guru gives instruction to the disciple, or is the disciple should follow Guru's instruction. What about when Guru gives instruction which cannot, you know, which is correct?
When Guru gives instruction that you cannot do. Okay, that's a nice example. One time Lord Chaitanya was in South India, so there was one temple, Sri Ranga, a very wonderful Vaishnava temple. So Lord Chaitanya was there having darshan with deity. So this one devotee, he was holding Bhagavad Gita and crying. So Lord Chaitanya looked and said, "You are reading Gita and crying?" But he also saw that there was some other pundit sitting around laughing. So Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are you crying when you're reading Gita?" So he said, "Oh, I cannot read, actually." He said, "I am illiterate. I cannot read. But my Guru Maharaj has given me order to read Bhagavad Gita every day. Minimum one chapter. But I'm illiterate. So I can't read." So Lord Chaitanya said, "But you'll cry? You can't read, but you'll cry?" He said, "Yes, every time I see the picture of Krishna, how he has become charioteer of Arjuna, how Krishna is so wonderful that he becomes the charioteer of Krishna." Then he said, "I'm crying." And tears are coming to my eyes. Then Lord Chaitanya said, "You have understood Bhagavad Gita." So he embraced that devotee, and tears came down Lord Chaitanya's eyes also. So one can understand that what is the point? The point is that he was illiterate. So he was told by his guru to read the Gita. So you may say, "Well, that's a pretty stupid instruction." But the point is that his following of the instruction of his guru attracted the Supreme Personality of God.